from the Game Nashville Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet. Now, start your engines. This is the Chasing Checkers Podcast with Chase McKay on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game.
That's right, it is Chasing Checkers. ESPN 102.5 The Game, online at thegamenashville.com, on the Game Nashville app as well. Download that and iTunes, rate, subscribe, and review, and you can find us in the Pod Center on thegamenashville.com. How you doing? Chase McCabe here with you. Huge show this week. We have not one, not two, but three NASCAR Monster Energy Cup Series drivers that are going to join the show. Ricky Stenhouse Jr., Ryan Preece, and Bubba Wallace all on this week's edition of Chasing Checkers. So very excited about that, to have those guys in, and we'll, of course, hit on Bristol and different things with them. But first, we got to go back and talk about Texas. And before we get to Denny Hamlin's victory, there's a lot being made about qualifying, because they do this group qualifying, and with the new rules package, we have seen this strategy where, you know, guys are wanting to be in the back, and they can get a, you know, better time through the draft and things like that. So NASCAR has had to tweak the rules, and there's even a chance they could go back to single car qualifying. So we'll hear from Steve O'Donnell here in just a second. But let's start with Adam Alexander from last week. I asked the question because this was the first time that we had seen the rules be changed. And NASCAR and Fox, Adam Alexander, I asked him about qualifying and what he thinks as they were going into Texas and what the rules would look like.
Well, and I think they needed to address it. I'll be interested to see how it all plays out at Texas. I don't think, you know, the execution is going to be totally different. I would be surprised if all 12 cars didn't get back, given the penalties that are out there if you don't make a lap in that final round. But you don't want to see cars sit around and then have to fall back on their time from the previous round. If you're going to put them out there in the draft, you want there to be some benefit and some payoff for everyone who's involved. And so I think by NASCAR saying, if you just take what we saw in California in that final round, those 12 cars go out, they don't get back to the flag, everyone goes without recording a lap, it reverts back to the second round. And basically, that's how we set the top 12 spots on the grid. Now the rule reads, if they don't get back, we basically wipe out everything they did in the first and second round, and those guys start at the rear. I like forcing the hand of those teams so that they will get out there and make a qualifying run and do what you would expect them to do for the fans that are invested. And I just don't know, with this arrow set up, and the importance of the draft, if you're ever going to find a sweet spot on qualifying, unless you're to go, you know, to heat races or something like that, I'm not sure you're ever going to meet the satisfaction of everyone involved with this arrow set up the way it is.
Adam Alexander from last week's show from Fox NASCAR on qualifying. Now, it didn't work at Texas. We saw Clint Bowyer, who was frustrated once again because he got burned by them trying to do this new rule. And you heard Adam mention, do they go to heat races? And I'm almost thinking, with the way that they're doing the schedule and they're trying to change things up and get the fans more excited and involved, I'm almost thinking that's what they need to do. You have the stage racing, which I love. I was skeptical at first, but I like how they've done that. They've split the race into stages. The fans seem to be into that. Maybe they do, like, before the, you know, the Xfinity race or something. You know, you have Cup Series heat races, qualifying races, and they almost take a little bit of what they do at Daytona and apply it to the rest of the season. I don't know if that is going to fix everything, but then you have the drivers and you have the teams essentially going to one setup. They don't have the qualifying setup. They have just a race setup. But, you know, then you're going to have some complaining from drivers that don't, you know, they maybe qualify well, and that gives them a chance to win because they have a good starting position. So I don't know. I don't really think that there's a great fix on this. Steve O'Donnell, who is, of course, the executive vice president for NASCAR and the competition, he commented on it after the race via NASCAR.com, and this is what he had to say.
It's really unfortunate for the fans because, you know, it's miraculous that Daniel Suarez is able to make a lap on his own and qualify fourth. So I don't know how that's possible based on all the data the team seem to be putting together to sit on the end of pit road and wait. So I think the one clarification on our end is, you know, we instructed the sixth car to move. He did that. We strongly believe Clint Bowyer could have gotten out and gotten past the sixth car. But regardless of that, the optics of what's taking place with the teams is not tenable for us with the fans. So we're going to look at every option, including the possibility of going to single car qualifying. The reason we haven't is, you know, that's on the teams, and that's, you know, parts and pieces. And we've tried to be as efficient as possible going to this method for qualifying, but we're definitely going to look at it and see what we can do. We got a couple weeks to do that, but we'll make adjustments if needed.
If they go back to single car qualifying, I mean, that's boring, but it's effective. So I don't want to see them do that. I like the group qualifying. I like what they've done with that. I like that, once again, we've discussed change and how NASCAR is all about change. You know, that was kind of the start of it. They changed qualifying. They changed the way that they had done it forever. Outside of Daytona, you know, qualifying is different at all the other tracks. But this method with this rules package and the strategies and things like that, it hasn't worked, and it's just made things more frustrating and more confusing. And the, you know, the fans, I mean, it's all about them, and they have to be entertained. And right now they're not because of all the mass confusion. Kevin Harvick was on NASCAR Race Hub on Fox this week, and he showed his frustrations and gave his thoughts on the qualifying dilemma.
You know, right now from a driver's standpoint, you want to be the guy that's last. I'm not good with qualifying fourth. I know that was the 41 car's strategy this weekend. They wanted to just go out and run a lap and had a fast enough car to be able to go out and wind up fourth. But, you know, if we're going to line up on pit road and we're going to have a race and we're going to have qualifying, I want to be first in both of them. And the only way that you're going to be first in qualifying at a mile and a half racetrack right now is to be the car that's the furthest back in the draft and be able to utilize that draft. So I was fired up. I don't like, you know, all the controversy and things that we have. And qualifying to me on the mile and a half racetracks right now is a lot like inspection was over the last couple of years. It's a conversation that we need to make go away. And right now, I think that one of the things that is kind of an unforeseen situation with this rules package is the fact that you can draft so well on the mile and a half racetracks. And we proved 5 years ago that drafting during qualifying won't work. It's going to have everybody wait till the end of qualifying and line up and try to get the best draft that they can. So it's an unfortunate circumstance because all the drivers and people love group qualifying, but you know, right now it's not fun to see all those cars sit down there and drafting on a mile and a half racetracks for all the guys who want to be first are going to have to be last in that line and get the best draft.
I think they have a dilemma on their hands. Clearly, it's what we've been talking about. And now NASCAR has to continue to prove that they're listening to the drivers, they're listening to the fans, and they have to fix the problem. Because you heard one of the best drivers in the series say, hey, it's an issue. And drafting and qualifying hasn't worked. So we'll see how they address that. But one thing that did work was Denny Hamlin and his strategy with his team. They get the win at the Texas Motor Speedway, his second of the year. Of course, won the Daytona 500. Coming in second was Clint Bowyer. Daniel Suarez, a great run for him in the 41. He comes home third. Eric Jones fourth. Jimmy Johnson sat on the pole, finishes the race fifth. We all were wondering, Texas, he's so good there. Was this going to be the week that he turns it around and he gets back in? And as he told Fox Sports, it was great for him to be back in the mix.
Yeah, it's great to be back in the mix. It's where this team deserves to be, and our sponsors with Ally and Chevy, everybody on board, especially, I guess, to add to that, just the hard, you know, all the work that goes into getting these cars to the track and the changes we continue to make. So I hope everybody at Hendrick Motorsports is smiling big right now. We still have more work to do, but to have all four cars with such pace, I think two or three of us had great results. It's just a big step in the right direction for us.
It was a good weekend for Jimmy Johnson and Hendrick Motorsports because his teammate, William Byron, finished right behind him. And he had Eric Almirola and the Stuart Haas Ford coming home seventh, Kevin Harvick eighth, Kurt Busch ninth, and Kyle Busch rounds out the top 10. Chase Elliott was just outside in 13th, and Alex Bowman, the other Hendrick Chevy, 18th. But overall, I mean, you had Jimmy Johnson and William Byron having a good week, and Jimmy needed that. You know, that could be the push he needs. That top five could be the push to get him back to where he wants to be. So Denny Hamlin, your winner. And he told Fox Sports he tried to give it away.
Yeah, our car was really, really fast. We obviously saw that. Once we got out front, we were actually able to pull away from the pack a little bit. So just got a little bit loose right there when we were racing our teammates with the 18 and the 20. So I wasn't able to be as aggressive as I was earlier in the race, but we had a super fast car, and that's why we won. I missed pit road under green. That cost us 3 or 4 seconds as well. So I don't know. We tried every way we could to give it away, and just we found a way to do it with this FedEx game.
Found a way to win, and that's what they did in the Daytona 500. That's what they did here. You know, I think it's safe to say Denny Hamlin's back. Two wins already on the year. His teammate Kyle Busch with a couple of wins as well. Those two are going to be forces as we get going. And you know, as I said last week on the show, you know, it's going to take a few more races to get this aero package figured out, because now you're, you know, going to the short track at Bristol. It's obviously going to be different there. You know, there's going to be more beating and banging and crashes and things like that. You're not going to have to rely on aero as much as you would at some of these mile and a half in these bigger tracks. But Denny Hamlin's figured it out. And oh yeah, he's a short track racer himself, so he's another one that you have to pay attention to this weekend. He had a funny message though. On expectations at Texas, he didn't feel so good about it. His crew chief did. This was pretty funny in the post-race.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, because, you know, we haven't, we've qualified well with our 11 team. But in general, JGR, I don't know that we've all qualified that well this season. So I don't know if the all-out speed is, you know, where we stack up as far as raw speed. But certainly the cars are driving, in my mind, better and better each week for me. And that's coming from Chris, you know, the feedback I give him. He makes adjustments and we get better. So, you know, he told me this morning that he was optimistic we had a race-winning car. And I'll be honest with you, I thought he was full of shit. I thought that we really struggled with the balance of the car all weekend. It was not a good Friday for us, except for qualifying where we, tremendously overachieved, but I just, he surprises me. I mean, we show up California and I was optimistic, but I didn't realize we were going to have as fast as car as we had there, and then again here at Texas. So he's just doing the right things, and I'm learning as a driver. I'm still learning. I mean, this is a complete different style of racing that what I used to do in the past just doesn't work that well, and so I have to adapt, and it seems like I'm adapting quickly.
And it's working. Whatever he's doing is working, because Denny Hamlin right now, you look at the points, is second in points. Of course, he has the two wins. He's only 8 points back behind his teammate Kyle Busch, that has two wins. You know, the only reason that Kyle has the edge on him right now is he has more stage wins. You know, Denny Hamlin's coming to life towards the end of races. That's what he did at the Daytona 500. He's won a stage, but I just think right now he's figured it out. Got a new crew chief. They're gelling well. And so that's interesting to see interesting to see what's going to happen with him and Joe Gibbs and that group. Now, another driver that I thought had a very good week, and he was so frustrated on Friday that you wanted to see Clint Bowyer have a nice race, possibly be in contention to win, and he was. He comes home second, but he wanted one more.
Well, we had to unclog ourselves. Once we unclogged ourselves, we were really good. Our Mustangs were fast all weekend long. Took a while for our Mustang to get good. This Rush Truck Center's Cummins car was a little off, to be honest with you, all weekend long. I was pretty nervous coming into the race, and we just made some, Mike and everybody made some good adjustments, and leaned on your teammates. When you only have an hour with a practice, it kind of pulls you away from maybe something you were trying or anything out of your wheelhouse, and just kind of put us all back together with all four cars at Stuart Haas. And all in all, hey, I wanted to catch him bad. He just come out of the pits way too too far ahead of me, and wasn't much I could do about it. But, you know, everybody involved, IT savvy folks were here. Like I said, Rusty and all his Rust Truck Center guys, this is a home track for them. One, Kier, everybody involved. I appreciate everybody's support. Thanks.
Clint Bowyer, the runner-up with Fox Sports after the race. A good run for him. I think that this is a year, you know, Stuart Haas Racing hasn't had the hot start like they did last year, but they're still one of the best teams in the sport. And Clint Bowyer is a damn good race car driver. He just hasn't, you know, had the championships and a ton of race wins and things like that. But I think he's a really good race car driver, and he's showing it. He's in some good equipment, and good to see him get a runner-up finish. When we come back, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., who finished 13th, is 13th in points right now, I should say. He's going to join the show from Roush Fenway Racing. That's all next on Nashville's Best Sports Talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, online at thegamenashville.com. Chase McCabe hanging out with you, and as promised, we bring in Ricky Stenhouse Jr., Roush Fenway Racing, the number 17. Ricky, how's it going?
Oh, it's going good. Just getting ready for Bristol Week. One of my, probably my favorite week of the year.
Well, it is mine too, you know, being a Tennessee guy and not too far from the Bristol Motor Speedway. It's a track with a lot of character. It's a track, old school racing, beating and banging, short track. I love it. I know it has to be fun for you drivers.
It is. It's a blast. I think if you go through the garage and ask everybody what their favorite track is, Bristol's definitely in everybody's probably top five. You know, it's a track that I feel like even if you don't have a lot of success there, it's still just a fun racetrack to be at, the atmosphere. You know, this week we race it at 2:00 on Sunday, but you got the night race in the fall, so you get kind of two different racetracks being this weekend during the day. It's a little bit slicker and takes a little bit more rubber, and definitely a fun racetrack to be on. So I think it's everybody's favorite.
We're seven races in, and we have this new rules package, the aero package that you guys have been running, and I know NASCAR has kind of tweaked it as they go along to see how it works with different tracks. But what are you expecting with the rules set up going into a short track like Bristol and that bull ring?
Well, I think, you know, a lot of people are in the garage talking about, you know, if the cars, making sure you build a car that can withstand the speed and the loads that we're going to put in it. You know, Bristol, with more downforce, you know, a lot of horsepower, you know, we should be close to track record speeds when we go there. And I think everybody is on the fence on making sure, you know, if the car is going to, you know, withstand the loads and things like that. And I know some other drivers are worried about themselves withstanding the loads. So it's going to be a fast pace. I think it's going to be one of the faster, you know, races at Bristol that we go to or that we've had in a long time. So I think it's going to be exciting, going to be fast, and going to see if the cars can last.
Do you think that's going to allow for more racing, more passing, and less crashing? Because I know we tend to see a lot of crashes at Bristol.
I don't think it's going to cut down on the crashes, the passing and stuff. I'm not sure. Bristol's always been a good racetrack, and, you know, if your car's good enough and you're good enough, then, you know, you can make a lot of passes. So Bristol's never been short on the excitement side. So I expect that level of excitement's going to be up, and the racing's going to be intense still.
Ricky Stenhouse Jr. on the line with us here on Chasing Checkers. So 2019 so far, you sit 13th in the standings. We know that Ford has brought the power this year with the new Mustang, and Ford has had a lot of success. How would you rate your season so far there with Roush Fenway Racing?
Definitely better than any other start that we've had in recent seasons. And I think that's what, you know, we look at to kind of build off of and make sure that we're, you know, continuing to improve. We started the year strong. We've made some mistakes that has cost us some positions and got us back in points a little further than we want. You know, we started the year inside the top 10 in points and was feeling comfortable there, but we've kind of slid the last couple weeks, and so we're looking to rebound once we get to Bristol. But you know, the Mustangs are driving really good. They're strong, they're fast, and actually we haven't won as many races, you know, the Fords as you know, what we were used to last year. But, you know, I think those wins are going to come soon.
You got a new teammate over at Roush this year in Ryan Newman, and I know you're a veteran driver in your own right. You've won races, but having him in the fold now, how has that changed things for you?
I'm definitely a rookie compared to Ryan as far as as many seasons as he has under his belt, and you know, just the experiences that he's had. He's won a lot of races and won races on all different kinds of tracks, and you know, his engineering background has been nice to kind of just talk to him and kind of see how he feels about his car and how he relays that message. And you know, we've worked really well as a team together, and looking forward to continuing that as the season goes. I think, you know, his team's getting stronger. We're starting to kind of believe in each other teams and what we say is going on with our race cars. And hopefully, you know, we'll both, you know, keep progressing as the season goes. But having him as a teammate's been fun.
Ricky, as I look at this era of NASCAR with, you know, some different leadership in place and things that they're trying to do, they're open to change. We'll get to the schedule in just a second, but I know that qualifying has been a sensitive subject for you guys over the last few weeks. I've read that they might go back to single car qualifying. What would you like to see happen in the dialogue to have with NASCAR over qualifying in those procedures?
Yeah, I mean, I'm open to whatever. I think, you know, whatever rules that are package that they lay out for qualifying, you know, us as a team, we always try to adapt. You got new rules that came out at Texas and we all adapted, and you know, you still, the problem that we have is at the mile and a half and the bigger racetrack, nobody wants to be the first car. And so you know, whether you have a staging area or you know, you put a time limit on and making sure you get a lap time or you start last, we all still you know, wait to the last second because nobody wants to go first. So you know, and that's just the product of this package, because drafting is faster than being the lead car. And so if they go back to single car qualifying, I'm definitely fine with that. I think either way, it gets us a starting position, and we'll go from there.
The 2020 schedule was released last week, and it has a lot of changes on it, starting and ending the regular season at Daytona, which will be exciting for the fans and maybe a little stressful for you guys, but several changes on it. What did you think about the schedule?
I like a couple weekends off in a row. That makes it, you know, for us and you know, crew guys and teams, they can kind of maybe plan on doing something with their families, which is nice. On the back side of that, I think having Bristol in the playoffs is cool, and having it a cutoff race and Martinsville a cutoff race, the Roval, that definitely, I wouldn't say, I mean, it kind of brings more excitement in, but, you know, just like Daytona ending the regular season, either way, you go to Daytona twice in the regular season, somebody has an opportunity to win at that racetrack. Does it make it a little more exciting, you know, as far as points go and watching the points go back and forth throughout the day? I definitely think it could change, you know, the way some people race. So it'll be cool to see.
I don't know if you ever raced at the Nashville Fairgrounds track or not in your career, but, of course, there's a lot of talk about coming back here. You guys are going to be here for the Cup Series banquet in December. But you know, what would it mean to you guys to maybe come back with the Cup Series and race out at Nashville?
I mean, that's one of the reasons why I want to make the playoffs, is to make sure I get to the banquet in Nashville. but we're excited about coming to Nashville. You know, driving the Xfinity cars in Nashville was a lot of fun. You know, I'd love to see the Cup cars get back there, but obviously you got to take steps in getting Cup back to places or two places for the first time. And I think getting, you know, trucks and Xfinity there would be a huge step in the right direction. I know we got a lot of fans in Nashville, and that's our scene. It'd be cool to get there.
Well, Ricky, I appreciate the time. I know as we wrap this up, I know you're a big Ole Miss fan, and Kermit Davis doing a great job down there with the basketball team. He was somebody we knew very well up here in Nashville. So you got you a good coach down there.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. I was glad that, you know, we made the tourney. Didn't go so well, but, you know, all in all, a good season down there, and looking forward to the football season coming up.
Ricky, appreciate it. Best of luck at Bristol.
Thank you. I appreciate y'all.
Ricky Stenhouse Jr., Roush Fenway Racing driver of the number 17. And you look at some of the numbers at Bristol. NASCAR.com put this out. While Jimmy Johnson holds the best average finish at Bristol since 2014, at 8.3. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. is a close second with 10.2. He finished fourth last year in this race, and he holds two runner-up results and four top five, six top tens at the Bristol Motor Speedway. Look, I'm not saying he's going to win, but I think he's got a very good chance. He's got a good track record there, runs well, and I think with what the Fords are doing this year, Roush Fenway Racing, adding Ryan Newman, they've had some decent performances. You know, he could be on his way to being back into contention and helping Roush Fenway Racing be back in contention as well. So we'll see how it all plays out for him. But he's a short track racer. He does well there. I think he's a driver that you have to pay attention to. And we have seen him, do all right here as of late. So we'll see how it all plays out. Now, I told you at the top of the show, we had ton of drivers joining us this week, and I wasn't kidding. We have two more coming up in the next segment. We'll lead things off with rookie Ryan Preece of JTG Dougherty Racing, and then Bubba Wallace, driver of the 43. They will both join me next here on Nashville's Best Sports Talk. It's Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here, Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5, The Game, online at thegamenashville.com. Chase McCabe here with you, and as promised, rookie Ryan Preece on the line with us. Ryan, what's going on, my man?
Not too much, man. How you doing?
I'm doing well. So we'll start with seven races into your rookie season there in the NASCAR Cup Series. How has that transition been going for you, moving up to the big series?
It's been good. Man, it's been flying by. I think it's only been like five or six, so seven already. But, I feel good about it. We've had some growing pains, definitely learning the differences between aero and mechanical. But it's a learning experience right now, so I'm enjoying every bit of it.
And sticking with the aero conversation, new to the Cup Series this year, did you have much experience with that running in the Xfinity Series or elsewhere in your career?
I didn't really have anything to base off anything really for this package other than my first time at the test in Las Vegas. So, but going to Bristol, it's something that I'm looking forward to. And, I feel strong. It's a short track, so it's just like something I've been doing all my life.
So short track racing is definitely your background.
Short track racing is 100% my background. So I'm from the modifieds up in the Northeast, and, we're used to, having a lot of grip being on the edge of out of control, and Bristol is definitely that type of style.
So I know they're going to be putting the compound back on the racetrack to try and give you guys a little more grip. Do you think that that's something that you would like, or do you kind of just want it natural and as is?
I'm for whatever puts on a good show for everybody. For me, to be honest, I enjoy having that PJ or the VXT or PJ1 or kind of whatever it's called. It's something that I feel the outside will rubber up and get real fast, but having that grip compound can equal it out at certain times during the race, and it'll make for good double file race.
So you mentioned the Xfinity Series in getting experience with that. Over the last few years, I know the Cup drivers have been limited in how much that they've been able to race, but racing against those guys, how much did that prepare you for the move up to the Cup Series?
I guess you could label it that, but I've raced against guys in the Northeast and modified that I felt prepared me a lot towards getting to where I am and being ready. I would say for restarts and racing situations, there's definitely things where guys like Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick, Brad Keselowski, Logano, they've all been doing this a long time, so they've learned so much about the aero side, and there's a lot I can see visibly that they do, there's been people that I've raced against up in the Northeast that I would say molded me to help me become a racer, and that's guys like Ted Christopher and all the people I raced on the Wheel of Modified Tour, Doug Tobey, and a lot of weekly racers that I've been racing and put in situations that I still get put into this day that, I feel like have helped me become who I am. So it's not necessarily, I would say, from just being in Xfinity and racing against those guys. It's the steps I took coming up the ranks to get to where I am.
Ryan Preece here on with us on Chasing Checkers. And I want to go back to the beginning of the season, Daytona 500.
You had a top 10 finish there, but we're running some pretty good laps. I know it was a crazy race with all the mayhem that always takes place at Daytona, but what was that entire experience like for you as you start off your rookie year?
It started off with really a lot of ups, and then we had a couple downs there with a couple wrecks, but we're just trying to get back up to where we want to be. And, you know, I feel like we're slowly making our way there.
So you mentioned earlier in the interview, Bristol being the short track guy. Do you think that this is a track this weekend where you can really make some gains?
Yeah, you know, I feel like the short track stuff is definitely somewhere that, you know, I feel like we're could be our strong place. And really, it's a big unknown for a lot of people. So we're gonna creep up on it and see what we have when we unload on Friday.
And the 2020 schedule came out last week. I know in 2021, that's when we could see some changes. I know you have to be hopeful that some more short tracks will make their way to the Cup Series schedule.
Oh, yeah. I think, you know, I feel like the 2020 schedule is definitely something that we're all looking forward to and a step in the right direction. So we're looking forward to that. And,
yeah, for sure.
You know, hopefully we can see some more in 2021.
Yeah, I hear Nashville has a very nice short track. Just saying. It'd be cool to get you guys here.
Yeah.
All right, Ryan, I appreciate
Absolutely. So we'll see.
Yeah, for sure. I appreciate the time. Best of luck this weekend in Bristol.
No problem. Thank you.
Moving right along here on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe, pleased to be joined by Bubba Wallace, the driver of the famed number 43 Richard Petty Motorsports Chevy. Bubba, how's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well, man. You guys are in our state this week running at Bristol, and I know short tracks seem to be the most fun for you guys, and I know you're a short track racer yourself, but what are you expecting out of Bristol with this new aero package that we've been seeing since you guys left Daytona?
Yeah, the center of the corner speeds are going to be way faster, so I feel like our lap times are going to pick up a lot, so we got to be on top of our game to be able to handle that, so I'm excited to be able to check it out and see what it's all about. I know they're going to lay down the traction compound again, so not sure how that's going to play in effect, if it's going to help or hurt us, but we'll see. So it's a lot of unknowns going into this weekend.
And that's kind of how it's been pretty much throughout the season with this new rules package, right? I mean, you haven't really known what it was going to be like because each track is so different.
Yeah, for sure. So we'll just keep trying to do what we can, the most of what we can.
So I know with that, it's year two for you full time in the Cup Series, and so I guess it's hard to maybe take some things away from last year. But what have you learned now that you're in your second season full time?
Yeah, it's just, you know, going through everything for the second time. You don't have to restart and try to like learn everything all in one weekend. So I definitely learned a lot last year, and just trying to utilize that as we go throughout each and every stop now.
And driving for Richard Petty in that famed 43, does that add any pressure, or does that make it extra special for you?
I mean, it depends on how you look at it. For me, I like to look at it as, you know, I'm obviously in a awesome opportunity, a great opportunity, and you know, I just happen to be driving the 43 while I write my own history.
And you definitely have been doing that. It's been fun to watch. Bubba Wallace here with us, driver of that number 43. So when you had media days at Daytona, I had a friend of mine that was down there covering and asked you about Nashville, because there's been a lot of talk with Nashville. We now know the Cup Banquet is coming here at the end of the year, but we have a pretty cool short track that's out at the fairgrounds that hopefully will have you guys back at it soon. And I think you were quoted in saying it would be badass if you guys came back to Nashville. When's that going to happen? Make it happen for us, Bubba.
Yeah, I'm going to try. I don't know. I know there's a lot of people rallying for it. It's just 2021 will be the big year of the big schedule change. So I know they just announced you know, a couple track swaps for 2020. But 2021 is when the excitement will happen. So we'll see. Fingers crossed.
Now, did you race at that track coming up through the ranks?
I raced there one time on the big track, and then I raced on the little track inside for 2 years when I started racing Bandolero cars.
Oh, okay. And I mean, I know that they have to do some work on it around the track, but the track itself, the surface, has a lot of character, and I know that's what race car drivers are looking for.
Yeah, for sure. It has a ton of character. You're slipping and sliding all over the place, so that's what we like.
So you mentioned the 2020 schedule is going to have some changes for you guys next year. What do you make of that and how it's all set up with ending the season, the regular season at Daytona, and of course the Daytona 500 will start it, but then the championship race goes to Phoenix.
Yeah, so it's different. You know, I always thought for the last handful of years, I've always thought that the All-Star race and the championship should be a floating racetrack. So pick six or seven of our best racetracks and have it float each and every year, have it somewhere different each and every year. So people are kind of guessing game on who's going to capture it. So it'll be interesting to see how it shakes out, but I think Daytona ending the regular season is pretty exciting for sure.
Do you think that this is just another example of NASCAR and what I call the new era of, it seems like they're listening and they're open to change? I mean, for so long, it was the schedule was the same and, you know, you had some rule changes here and there, but it seems like they're doing everything in their power to make the racing the best it can be and also keep people guessing with, you know, changing it up like the schedule.
Yeah, no, for sure. You know, they're listening. Everybody in the sport knows we need change. And look at the aero package. That's changed, whether it's for the better or the worse. Who knows yet? Still trying to get through that. And then schedule change, that's exciting for most. You're not going to be able to please everybody. That's just the world we live in. Everybody's going to have a negative comment about something. So we're just going to keep doing what we got and have as much fun as we can.
So I know that it keeps you guys busy, but there's going to be a two-week break for the Olympics in the 2020 schedule. When Bubba Wallace is not running a race car, what do you like to do?
Be lazy, play video games, and usually we try to take a vacation somewhere, so we'll kind of plan that out once we get a little bit closer to that time frame. So, but anything just to keep the blood flowing.
All right, Bubba. Hey, best of luck this weekend at Bristol. I appreciate the time.
Yep, thank you.
Ryan Preece and Bubba Wallace joining us. Look, I told you, we had some drivers this week. Ricky Stenhouse Jr., Ryan Preece, Bubba Wallace, all nice enough to join the show, and appreciate NASCAR for setting that up. And three guys that I think you should pay attention to at the short track at Bristol, because they all have that background. You heard them all mention it, and Ricky Stenhouse is a guy that I think is starting to inch his way up. I know he has a couple of wins under his belt in his career at Super Speedways, but Roush Fenway slowly getting that program back to where it needs to be, and then Bubba Wallace and doing his work, and Ryan Preece, the rookie. So watch those guys this weekend. Really appreciate them for coming on with us. And when we come back here on Chasing Checkers, we'll get you set for racing from the Bull Ring at Bristol. One of my favorites. I'm going to be there. We'll discuss next. Chasing Checkers, ESPN, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are online at thegamenashville.com, the Pod Center. Check that out. iTunes as well. Rate, subscribe, and review. Just search for Chasing Checkers. You can check it out every week, every Friday afternoon. A new episode is released. But before we get to racing from Bristol, I'm going to head there this weekend. Go check it out. Go see some racing live. We gotta discuss an announcement that was made by Fox Sports and Fox NASCAR, and that is the three-time Cup Series champion and 19-year veteran of the broadcast booth, old DW Darrell Waltrip, Franklin, Tennessee's own, announced that this will be his final year calling races for Fox Sports. He's going to retire. And I was reading all the things about him, and, you know, we've had him on the show a couple times. We'll definitely try and get him on here in the next few weeks to talk about this big announcement before, you know, he doesn't want to come on anymore because he's going to be retired. But DW's done a great job with it. He's added, you know, Fox was new to the NASCAR game. Darrell retired after the 2000 season, and then in 2001, of course, Fox took over from CBS the NASCAR package, and he joined Mike Joy, Larry McReynolds, and two guys that we've had on, and brought entertainment, brought the Jaws persona, brought that personality to the broadcast booth. And, you know, at the time, he had just gotten out of the race car, so still very familiar. And, of course, you know, as time passes, he had to you know, keep up with it and the changes and things like that. And one thing that he referenced in the Tennessean article was, Mike Organ did a great job with that, was, you know, Jeff Gordon coming to the booth reminded him that, you know, he's
not a young guy anymore. He can't relate to the drivers like he used to, and that Jeff Gordon can. And, you know, that factored into his decision, the travel. You know, he's a grandfather now and wanting to be with his grandkids at 72 years old. And he just felt it was time. And DW has been awesome to deal with in the time that I've been in media and working here at the game and having this show. And then a previous, you know, show with Liz Allison that I was a part of, you know, just DW is fun. He's a clown and a good guy, and has done a lot for the sport, not only as a race car driver, but now a commentator. So while I am sad to see him leave, I'm happy for him and his family and, you know, what's next for him in his life. And he can be a granddad and hang out with his kids and his grandkids and his wife, Stevie. So very, very cool. And again, we'll try and get him on here in the next few weeks. But DW, a great ambassador for the sport and for Nashville, and hopefully getting NASCAR back. That has to be his final act, of get them to announce, hey, the NASCAR is coming back to the fairgrounds. So hopefully that can happen before his time with Fox is up. I'm sad, though, that he's not going to get to call a Martinsville race under the lights. I'm sure he'll go. We'll see if how much he'll go to the racetrack. But DW, and of course it was fitting that he made the announcement for Bristol Week, because he's the king of Bristol. Speaking of the Bristol Motor Speedway, it's the day race. It's Sunday that they will run there. Short track racing with this new rules package. We saw it at Martinsville. You know, what are we expecting out of Bristol? You heard from the drivers that we had on, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. most notably. Still going to be crashes. Still going to be beating and banging. Maybe the passing will be better. But, you know, as we've said just about every week, a lot of unknowns with this rules package. I think you're going to see those short track racers go near the front, because they know how to battle this place. They're going to put the compound down on the track to help with grip. We'll see what that does, if that changes. You know, to me, I don't like that. I like them slipping and sliding, and you know, that concrete surface having to build up rubber for them to get grip. You know, and to me, it's a little bit cheating. They're cheating a little bit, putting that compound down. So I don't like it as much. I like that old school racing door to door, coming to the start finish line. But excited about it to see that. You know, I've had the opportunity this year so far to go to the first points race with the new rules package at Atlanta. Go to the second one at Las Vegas, and now we'll see a short track with it with the Bristol and the Bullring, and what's going to happen up there. Jimmy Johnson is somebody that I want to see continue what he did at Texas. He's a short track guy. Martinsville was not a good week for him, but let's see what happens at Bristol, because he's done well there. You know, Kyle Busch has a lot of wins. Is he going to continue his momentum? And what about Denny Hamlin? Martin Truex Jr., it's time. He's got to break through and get in the win column. He's had some good runs. And also Chase Elliott, you know, had a runner-up finish a few weeks ago at Martinsville. Can he back that up and do something here at Bristol? And then is Kevin Harvick on a slump? Do we think he's in a slump right now? I don't think so. I mean, I think he's doing okay. He's third in points. So I think he's won two stages. He hadn't won a race yet. So if a guy doesn't win a race, does that put him in a slump? I don't know if I completely buy that. But we'll see. He's he's pretty good on the short tracks as well. Beating and banging. That's how I like it. It's going to be old school racing in the day. The weather is supposed to be nice. So we will recap that next week here on the show as they go to East Tennessee. Real quick, before we get out of here, they released the Xfinity Series schedule and Truck Series schedule for 2020. They're changing some things up, similar to that of the Cup Series. They're going to mirror a lot of what the Cup Series is doing. They'll end at Phoenix, of course, in both of those series for championship weekend. And the Xfinity Series Daytona race in July moves with the Cup Series. And during the 2 weeks off that the Cup Series have, you'll be able to get some racing with the Xfinity and the Truck Series. Iowa is a part of that. So we'll dive into that a little bit more next week, and as we continue to look at schedules. Nashville not on it, But we didn't expect that because they weren't going to add new tracks because of the, you know, contracts and things like that. So we'll see as we get closer to 2021 what that is going to look like. But that's going to do it. My thanks to Ricky Stenhouse Jr., Ryan Preece, and Bubba Wallace for joining the show, and all of you for listening as you always do. Check us out on iTunes and also on thegamenashville.com. I'm Chase McCabe. Chasing Checkers returns next week on Nashville's Best Sports Talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game.